68
until we get a quorum. Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 2268 essentially is a fee bill for the Water Resources Department that the budget is dependent upon. This bill was heard in front of the House Committee on Water and referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation. The House Committee had some concerns that some of the fee increases might be a little too high. During the budget hearings in front of this subcommittee, the subcommittee also had some of those same concerns, and so the agency has gone back and worked with some of the constituent groups and brought forward a proposal to reduce some of those fees. You have a memo that I distributed to your offices yesterday, and attached to that memo is a hand-engrossed version of that bill with the fee amounts that would now be proposed.
Why don't you walk through those for the record and the
audience? Okay. Going through the A engrossed House bill, the one that is now hand engrossed, line 21, there's a base fee there that in the original bill was $500, has been now changed to $300. The second foot or fraction thereof originally was $300, is now $200. Going to page 2, line 1.
Are you, is everybody on board here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Page 2, line 1. This is fee to store water. Base fee of now $300, lowered from $500. Down to line 5, the exclusively appropriated stored water base fee of $150, which is down from $200, and $15 for the second acre foot or fraction thereof, up to 10 acre feet. The recording the permit to appropriate or store water, I can't read writing. It looks like it was $350. Now it's $250, so it's been reduced to $100. Down on line 20, that $500 fee has been changed to $350. Line 23, the $200 fee has been changed to $175.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duke.
Am I the only one who got pages 1, 3, 5, 7?
No.
And didn't get 2, 4, and 6.
Whoops. Sorry.
Well,
Mr. Sheriff,
I was fine on page 1, but I lost on page 2.
Please, as a committee, I think we've got a table attached to our testimony that has these fees, current fee, as introduced fee, and then the revised fee, and you might find that easier to follow. Attached to that
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I don't know how my copy has got all the pages. I think Senator Messerly's copy has all the pages.
Got all the important people.
Okay. Mine has. Technology, huh?
And you have them all?
It's a calculated plot.
You and I don't have our plots.
Might possibly have to do with political affiliation.
Rick, this doesn't look good.
Get it all in there.
I'm just fine as long as you didn't make any changes to pages 2, 4, 6, and whatever.
I will say that the copy repairman was in our office yesterday.
While this information is being distributed, is it safe to say these are all now lowered?
Yes, ma'am.
And follow up, Mr. Chair? you have, as I recall, although it was a long time ago that we heard the testimony, but there was a public process that you went through to initially establish these.
Right. Chair Messley, Representative Johnson, again, Paul Clary, Director of the Water Resource Department, for the record. We used a public process both to develop them originally through our Water Resource Commission, and then after we had the hearing in front of the Substantive House Water Committee, we then used a work group that we invited everyone who had an interest to participate in, and then we worked through those again.
Thank you.
So we had multiple opportunity for stakeholder input.
Thank you.
Representative Krieger.
Mr. Chair, just off the top here, what was the total reduction that you anticipate from this? Change of the fees? Is it here somewhere? It's got to be in the budget.
Chair Messley, Representative Krieger, I think it went from somewhere around $2 million down to about $1.2 or so. It was about a 50% reduction. When we came out of our Water Resource Commission, they had asked us to introduce a bill that would have recovered 50% of the cost on average for all of our activities. And the last time the legislature, these fees are all set statutorily, last time the legislature had the policy debate on that in 1997, I believe, they settled on a 37% recovery factor, and that's what these would be back to, about 37%.
Okay. So let me be clear, too. The original was for roughly a, what, five-year
right
increase?
Yeah, Chair Messler, you're right. The original would have had us being able to fund our the activities that we propose to fund with these fees for up to a five-year period, and now we've been asked to look back to a two-and-a-half-year horizon or so, and so that's where you see this approximately 50% reduction in the fees.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Duke.
My mind must have wandered for a moment because I'm sure staff covered this. The reason we're reducing the fees is?
Just not impact the repairs so much in these times.
Okay, but it's not a... The work group approved the higher fees and...
No, the work group, after the bill had been introduced, asked us to address this concern about changing the time horizon so we could have this discussion again in a two-year period. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Then I guess what confuses me, Mr. Clary, is that in response to a question I asked you just a second ago, that you'd had a public process to develop the original fee schedule.
Right.
Well, if that was so successful, and you seem to indicate that it was, then you get to the substantive committee, and all of a sudden it isn't very successful. That casts a nasty shadow over your public process.
Chair Messley, Representative Johnson, when you've got commission meetings, they're always, of course, open public, and the people that we send out the agendas to everyone. Some people maybe don't think that it's a real serious issue until it's actually drafted in the bill and introduced in the legislature. And so there's a lot of people that maybe won't show up and express the concerns. And I think also at that time they started seeing general concern on fee increases in other bills as well. So they're kind of a philosophy got adopted to, well, let's look at fees, let's look at adjusting fees, let's look at keeping them on a shorter time horizon so we can have this discussion rather than having it every 4 to 6 years. We may have to have it every 2 years unless we're successful in identifying, and that's one of the things we commit to in this legislation, opportunities for cost containment, streamlining, or other types of partnership to reduce our processing costs.
Well, the chairman's occupied. Okay. I was just going to make a follow-up comment. This might be instructive, though, for you to rethink your stakeholder database or figure out some other way to make your meeting sufficiently relevant that you can say with integrity to a legislative panel, we had all the stakeholders at the table, and you're not in undoing something that was the result of a public process later. There's going to be a corrosive drip of credibility on your process if this happens again, I would say.
Well thought. Thank you.
And Krieger.
Chair. Paul, so what page is it on? I don't know if they're numbered. Anyway, back here where it talks about activity submitting a protest,
Right.
And then it says $25 current fee, and that goes to $250.
Right.
Revised is $250. Seems like quite a change. I don't know if that's designed to cover the cost of processing that. And is it the person who submits the protest, not the person who's on the end of
receiving? Representative Krieger, that particular fee is the protest for transfers. And it has been at $25 because it didn't get adjusted in 1997. The protest on applications got adjusted up to $200. And you're right, it's not the applicant that pays that fee. It's someone who protests what they're proposing to do, whether it be a new water right or a transfer of an existing water right.
Well, someone who protests, that's an environmental organization, so they got to pay that fee to protest?
Chair Messley, Representative Krieger, yes, they do. All the protests.
I'd like to make that fee a little higher.
Well, what's interesting is in terms of our protest, the vast majority are filed by applicants, and they don't pay an extra fee. It's about 60% of what we had protested in 2001-2002. Non-applicants file about 23% of the protests, and of those, the special interest groups are really a pretty minor part, only about
7%.
It's generally some other water users or other interest groups that get involved.
Let's let Mr. Olson finish making his presentation. We'll go to the public.
Well, Mr. Chair, now I'm not sure which document to use. Maybe I'll
probably the agency
since you have all those pages.
I'm
not sure how far down we got.
The only thing I'm concerned about, Rick, is will that cover your notes? Maybe that's all wrong.
Cover.
You've got a note here on the side.
And that's on an even or an odd numbered page, so I actually have that one, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, number three, yeah.
Actually, Mr. Chair, that is a note from the department that they have provided on this, so maybe it'd be best for them to address that note.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department. We're looking at page 3 of the printed bill, line 22, where the fee for an application for an in-stream water right lease originally was $200. And again, after working with the stakeholders, we modified that to be $200 for a lease with four or more ownerships or four or more water rights involved. Again, this would be a more complex process for the department and would just require a lot more processing time. And then it would be $100 for all other types of in-stream leases.
Just for my own clarity, I've got to ask, how long did this work group did their work?
How many times did the work group meet after the...
Just when did they finish?
We've been done for 2 months maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, we met right after the bill came up in front of the substance committee.
And my question is, why do we have a hand in gross bill?
Mr. Chair, if I understand right, the department and the constituents came up with this after the House Substantive Committee had already passed the bill out, referred it to Ways and Means, thinking that the Ways and Means Subcommittee and Ways and Means Committee would modify the bill. So what my recommendation, what LFO recommendation is, as you'll see on my memo, is for this committee first to amend the bill and then to pass it to full as amended. So we will have the official amendments prior to it reaching the full committee.
Okay. So you recommend the hand-engrossed version that came from the department?
That's correct. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I'd be happy to do it the way staff has recommended it, but I will tell you that in the other committee that Representative Krieger and I are on, we took an action today to change something, and we're told afterwards that it is going to be sent back to committee because it is considered a conceptual amendment and it is not in printed form, and that yes, we will ultimately do it, but we're going to do it the right way.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I guess I was proceeding under this assumption based on what we do with budget bills. You don't have amendments to budget bills in the subcommittee. We recommend amending the bills to the level that is agreed upon in the subcommittee. And then prior to it being adopted by the full committee, you actually have the amendment in front of you.
And
it's the full,
this
it's the full committee.
I just want everybody to understand that if it's not my fault on this one.
Actually, the subcommittee.
Two in one day might be more than I can manage.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, actually, the subcommittee cannot amend a bill. It's the full committee that amends it. This subcommittee only recommends to the full committee that the bill be amended. And so when it gets to full committee, you will have the amendment in front of you.
I like your way of thinking. Tried that this morning.
Mr. Olson, did you have any more?
No, I don't.
What I'm going to do is go right to the sign-up list then, Mr. Cleary and Mr.
Sussman.
Good afternoon again. For the record, Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department, and I think the LFO staff have covered a lot of the elements of the bill. So what I might just do is if you turn to page 2 and 3 of the testimony, these are some of the areas that we specifically worked on with the work group and, in fact, with the substantive committee on the House side. And, again, we've already talked about item number 1 on page 2, which is we adjusted our planning horizon, which essentially means scaling the fees back. And again, Paul has mentioned that this ends up in an average cost recovery of about 37%, which is consistent with what happened in the 1997 session. There was also a lot of discussion in the work group and in the House committee about accountability. How is the department going to spend this money? How is the department going to use this money? And on the top of page 3, there's a discussion there how House Bill 2268 was amended to include a department-sponsored fee work group. And we would put that work group together during the interim to talk about things like regulatory streamlining, cost containment, and help us to make some strategies for the future. The second big item, again, I'm on page 3, were some concerns about will raising the fees be a disincentive for certain activities, particularly for owners of small ponds filing for permits, for people putting water in stream, and for people going through allocation of conserved water projects. Would these fees be a disincentive? So, again, what we did is in working with the work group, we scaled all the fees back, first of all, and in the Hand and Gross bill, you'll see now that the minimum fee for a small pond has been scaled back to $50. And again, we talked about the minimum fee for a straightforward in-stream lease is down to $100. There's also an amendment that was put in the House Bill 2268 that would allow the waiver of the fee for certain types of allocations of conserved water if they resulted in benefits to fish. So those are the issues that were raised, and those are the actions we took to address those. There was also concern, again, on the accountability side about where would this money be going, and we worked with the work group to come up with a consensus solution, which was to create a dedicated fund. And that's in Section 5 of the bill. The bill would create a dedicated water right operating fund. And that, all the monies from the water right processing fees would be put into that fund. Again, we've already talked about the protest fees, which is at the bottom of page 3. We've covered that. And number 5, in Section 2 of the bill, to make a very long and complicated story short, there's a reference in Water Resources Department statutes about groundwater management areas. There's been a lot of confusion over the years about this term, because it's a term that's also in the Department of Environmental Quality statutes. So what we've done in the bill, in Section 2 of the bill, is we delete the reference to groundwater management areas to erase any confusion about those terms. Lastly, number 6 on page 4, there was a concern about implementing these increased fees during the water storage, water project construction season. And so with the exception of the start card fee, the fee that is submitted upon initiating construction of a well, All the other fees will be implemented starting October 1 of 2003. And just for your information, attached to that written testimony is a couple graphics. The first one showing the state of the water right operating fund, and then the next one showing the state of the fund for the start card fund, as we call it, which under the current scenario will likely bottom out in about the end of July.
I might just point out again on both those charts, so Mr. Chair, you can kind of see the both the seasonality of these fees as well as the volatility year to year. So it makes it difficult for us to project things with 100% accuracy, depending on whether we end up in a decline or an increasing trend, as well as that seasonality. But we've worked with Rick and tried to do the best job we can in terms of projecting out the revenues and expenses.
What I'd like you to do, I see that the ending balance that would be part of Senate Bill 5546 has changed, and I think that's a piece of information we need to know before we do the fee bill. So could you walk us through that?
The ending balance. Oh, okay. The we had an earlier projection of an ending balance, not an ending balance, but I guess what we could say would be a 12-month reserve of about $330,000, which would have, if you use that figure then to come up with the monthly expenses, that's how you determine what kind of both ending balance you're going to have as well as how many months of expenses that ending balance represents. And we hadn't included in that some of the expenses associated with the new positions that are funded under these bills, as well as expenses associated with some of the fund shifting that's in the governor's balanced budget. So we wanted to update that figure. And what that does is affects both the ending balance, because your expenses are higher than we originally calculated and provided Rick, and it also then affects how many months of expenses that ending balance would cover. So what we would show now with this revision in the water right account is 12-month expenses of somewhere around $578,000, which, given our revenue forecasts and our expense forecast, results in an ending balance at the end of the next biennium of $190,000, which equates out to about 4 months of expenses.
How about hydroelectric fund?
The hydroelectric also had a, if I recall right, a fund shift. We had some general fund expenses that were being backed out. And so we've got a little bit of a difference there of about $48,000. With the revenue forecast, it doesn't really affect the ending balance projection as much, but it does affect the number of months. Drops it from 10 to or 11 to 8 months.
Is this the ending balance? What would be important also is that what is the lowest cash account or ending for the month on the month?
Right. And, Mr. Chair, I know we've got the forecast here for the water right operating account and for the start card attached to our testimony. I don't believe I've got the hydroelectric attached to that testimony. The hydroelectric account collects both fees from annual licenses as well as kind of acts as a as an escrow or impound account, if you will, when a project comes up for relicensing. There's going to be expenses associated with that that are shared by a number of agencies. That money gets deposited in, and we just kind of hold it until it gets spent, and then if there's money left over and the relicensing is completed, it goes back to the applicant. If it starts coming up short, we notify the applicant and they add more money. But you can see under the water right operating fund, we don't project ourselves getting to zero until into that six months or so past the end of the next biennium with the adjusted fees. The StarCard fee, we're going to bounce down close to zero, but with the adjusted fees, we'll start a gradual, even with some seasonal volatility there, we'll start a gradual increase to get up above zero, more into that $100,000 range or so. And I see here Bruce did provide me with one on the hydroelectric, and I'll have Adam carry this up to you here. It looks to me like we dropped down in November of 04 to about $100,000, which is about a six-month cash reserve, and then we start bouncing back up. Adam, why don't you take that up?
Thank you. We've been instructed by the co-chairs to shoot for a 2 to 6 month, try to keep it around 2 and 3. So what I'm looking for is some justifications of why there's 8 months on hydroelectric right. and 12 months on well construction.
Well, I think, again, on the hydroelectric, because you've got a combination of both license revenue and then the impounding, that's all going to depend on whether we get a big major project that comes in for relicensing, and we require them to deposit what we think is sufficient to get us through multiple years. We don't just charge them 6 months ahead. So you've got them depositing funding to cover 18 months worth of activity. So you would expect that reserve to be more than a two or three month balance.
On that note, Paul, are we expecting several relicensings coming through right in this period?
Chairman Essley, we've got a number of relicensings. I'm thinking we're looking at somewhere around 35. Vic, 6 majors in session. Yeah, it's a lot of the FERC licenses are reaching the end of their 50-year period, and then we've got a number of state license projects that come up as well. But I do know that we're working hard now on, like, the Hells Canyon complex, Pelton Ron Butte, and the Klamath projects. Those are 3 major projects going on right now. We're not involved in the federal power system up on the Columbia. Yeah, federal government exempts themselves from our requirements. The well constructor...
Negligent here. We've got several FFA students here in the room, and are you all from Crane? Okay. Would you like to stand up and introduce yourselves? I'd like to welcome you to our Natural Resource Committee.
My name is Anna Marie Pim. I'm actually the teacher out of Crane. And I brought a couple of my students to come over to see how the legislature works and to share a little bit about the FFA with anyone that is. We're really glad to be here.
Trustee Hammond.
David Ryder.
And they were honorary pages in the Senate today. So.
Right. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Your other question was on the well constructor license account, which on that page is item D. And in this case, we've got an ending balance right now of about 12 months, but we've got a new program that we're implementing. We've been accumulating funding, and the continuing education program rules were adopted last year, and so we're just going to start incurring expenses against those funds. And then 4 years out, we're phasing down from a multiple license requirement to a single license with multiple endorsements. And so that'll affect the revenue as well. You won't have to be licensed for both water well construction and geotechnical wells. Monitoring wells, you'll just get a single license with multiple endorsements on it, if you will. So we're going to have, over the next biennium, expenses coming against us that we hadn't had in the past because we hadn't implemented that continuing education program, as well as the reduction associated with license consolidation. So that would be our explanation on that.
And that's why with the new program you're still on a decline.
Right.
Any questions in committee before we move on? Okay. Did you have anything else, Paul?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Next, I'd like to call Doug Riggs. And is there anyone else who would like to sign up to testify today? This is a public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let me pass out a letter for the committee. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Doug Riggs. I'm here on behalf of the Central Oregon Cities Organization, which is Bend, Culver, Madras, Redmond, and Sisters.
Thank you.
And I want to start out by saying that we've worked very closely with Paul Cleary and Adam Sussman over the last two sessions on a variety of water rights bills that will have a direct and very positive impact on the Deschutes Basin. These bills will give us additional tools and flexibility to better manage the existing water resources in the region. And we very much appreciate their willingness to sit down at the table and help us devise these new tools. At the same time that we're trying to increase flexibility for the region, what we're seeing on existing processes is that the department is severely understaffed in our basin. We have one and possibly two, if you count a part-time person, working on pretty much all the water rights transfers in the entire Deschutes Basin. And that leads to examples like one that I'm particularly familiar with. My sister and brother-in-law decided to buy a house outside of Redmond, just on the north edge of Eagle Crest, and it was almost held up because a water rights transfer had been in process for approximately 2 years. So if you look at the situation in the basin, this is a simple economic development issue. I don't blame the department in any way, shape, or form. When you've got one person handling 500 water rights applications, it's a little bit difficult to get things done. And in essence, this translates into a really an economic development issue. Recreation is important, agriculture is important, and we need to have the staff and the ability to be able to process these very simple water rights transfers. And we believe this bill will help. The letter that I've distributed is from Mayor Alan Unger from the City of Redmond. He's the chairman of the Central Oregon Cities Organization, and we are strongly in support of this bill. We would like to encourage you to include it in the process, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Any questions? Mr. Riggs?
Thank you, Doug. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 2268A.
May I make one comment?
Sure.
You'll see the memo there on House Bill 2268 with the LFO recommendation, and based on the discussion that we had a few moments ago regarding whether or not the bill can be amended, LFO would recommend that the motion be to recommend House Bill 2268A be amended, and then a motion to send the amended version of the bill to the full committee.
Fine. I ran across the hallway to point out their inconsistencies to them. Didn't give me a lot of sympathy, but.
Okay. Ready? What are your wishes?
Chair is ready for a motion.
Is the motion maker is in the dark here, having just walked in the door. Could you give me the substance of the amendments?
They are figures which are on the written into the bill, and we also have fees, and we also have a memo, a summary, in the presentation by the department, which is all of the adjustments.
So would the chair accept a motion that recommends that 2268 be amended by the addition of the information provided by the department and passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
And it's also in the engrossed bill. Yes, I would accept that motion. You've heard the motion.
Discussion of the motion.
Objection to the motion. Motion carries. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2268A and open the work session on Senate Bill 5546.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is the budget bill for the Water Resources Department. You have received a memo, I hope, with all pages photocopied. The actual memo should, I believe, have six pages to it. So for Representative Morgan's sake, we found out that some of the memos didn't have all the pages.
No, what he's really saying is that the Republicans had all the pages and the Democrats had half the pages. That's a bad deal.
Was that an editorial comment? Or was that actually what happened?
That's what happened.
Representative Krieger.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if I got any of the pages.
We're getting even.
It was delivered to your office yesterday.
Okay. Do you have any spares?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right, that's the one I studied. Glad. I studied this diligently this morning.
I'm sure glad for your training. One of these days we're really going to be good at this.
Mr. Chair, I thought this was prime time. That we were.
You'll actually have two documents in that packet. You'll have the memo that is 6 pages long, and then you'll have the accompanying worksheets that provide the detail for you, which should be 27 pages long, and I hope you have all those pages.
Oh, I'm getting
it. As we begin to go. First item is the performance measures. I did not copy all the performance measures. I understand that that is an expectation from here on out that we will be doing and providing those with the memos to you. But that came after these have been printed and distributed to your office that direction. So,
Mr. Chair, that is an extraordinary amount of work for LFO. Would it be possible to just stop and have a discussion about whether the members of this specific committee want that to be done, given that we have the budget binders?
That's a good point.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I understand that there are members who are not on Ways and Means that would like to see these when they come to the floor before they come to the floor. So there is some discussion going on now as to whether or not these can be attached to the budget report before these bills come to the floor. And I don't know what the resolution of that discussion is. That's ongoing at the moment.
I think somebody made that request last Friday, didn't they? I don't remember who it was.
Representative Krieger.
This came up yesterday. Representative Morgan did a call, and Jerry Crummel questioned the performance measures from Representative Hansen regarding the county fair, state fair. Today I read mine on the House floor for the entire Marine Board, all 10 of them. And I've had some conversation with leadership, and they may rein that in because the amount of time we'll take on the floor to read all those. And people already have access to them. If they want them, they can go get them. And in fact, I was instructed to say that, you know, his closing remark at all times on his speech is not at this time. When he's asked if he wants to close, so when he was going to ask me a question specifically about the Marine Board fees, where I submit to a question, I'm going to say not at this time. But we went ahead today and got it done, but I think leadership will be working on it, too, so it doesn't get involved in all this work you're talking about.
I personally, I mean, for my own purposes, I'm very happy to go to the budget binders to look at performance measures without having to tie all the money and time up into giving them to us in two places.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, again, that the discussion is ongoing, and I'll certainly take your feedback back to those who will make that decision.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you a really silly question. Do the analysts have to do all that copying, or do you have staff members that can prepare for you?
Mr. Chair, we do it. We don't have a lot of other staff in the office. When we prepare these packets, it's us, it's the analysts that are doing it. With the performance measures, I did reference those that they can be found on page 107 of the budget binder.
That's a good
way to do it. I guess my thought was that at least I'll tell you what page they're on, so you can. It takes less time to get through the binder. And there were no real concerns that the subcommittee had as we went through that. We did go into some detailed discussions during the budget hearing. The subcommittee seemed to be satisfied with those, and so LFO is recommending that the subcommittee approve the performance measures as submitted by the agency. I will mention that all these agencies have taken their performance measures to the Performance Measure Review Committee, which has looked at all of these performance measures, and with very few exceptions and some modifications and tweaking and working with the agencies, they have come out with approval from that performance measure review committee, which includes members of the Department of Administrative Services and Legislative Fiscal Office.
Questions?
Mr. Chair?
Well, just a minute. Were you going to make a motion or what? I'm just looking through here quickly. There's a lot of regulatory type performance measures, and should have done this ahead of time. I apologize, but I'm looking for performance measures that would help us get our economy going through across the state. Mr. Cleary, would you come up with, and help me go through this rapidly?
Mr. Chair,
I'm down to six, I guess.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, Paul Cleary with the Director of the Water Resource Department. I'm looking at, in our kind of summary notebook under tab 2, we covered the performance measures, so I'll look through these real quick. We've got, I guess, goal number 5 in terms, or goal number 4 in terms of trying to equip our citizens with information, technical assistance to make and carry out local basin regional water plans. Goal 5, promoting solutions to water supply problems for to meet current and future demands. Goal 6, assure that the departments operate efficiently. Obviously, we've got a number of core functions within the department, protecting existing water rights, properly managing the resource are two of those, but efficiently processing new applications and finding solutions to people's water supply needs, which are directly related to growth and economic development in the state are key functions as well. We do have statutory time frames, Mr. Chair, on our processing of water right applications. I don't think we reiterated those in the performance measures.
Do you have a performance measure goal on your backlog?
Chair, in terms of our backlog, we don't have a specific performance measure. We do have as part of our proposal to raise our fee, we added two new positions into the transfers, and we're hoping that that will have us reduce that backlog by one-third here in the next biennium. We did a good job on the certificates, Representative Morgan, you remember when you were chairing, that was a big concern last go around. And what we end up doing, though, sometimes is we end up robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we're just kind of shuffling things around, and so we want to deal with them in a comprehensive manner.
Any other questions from the committee? We are ready for motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation as it pertains to performance measures.
Heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Objection. Motion carries. Mr. Olson.
Okay. We will now go down through this memo, which makes adjustments to the governor's balanced budget. First, for the administrative services division of the agency, and you'll be seeing some of these packaged through each of these divisions. Package 001 is the personal services adjustment. You may have seen these adjustments slightly differently with some of the other agencies you've seen. This has been rolled up into one adjustment, which includes the elimination of the merit increases, the salary freeze, and in a couple of the divisions you'll see elimination of a vacant position. That's the case for Administrative Services Division, the LFO Package 001 Personal Service Adjustment. Again, it eliminates merit increases, and it also eliminates one vacant accounting technician position. And so you see the adjustments there for that.
For the presentation, is there a discussion of the presentation? Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation relating to Standard Adjustment Package 001, Personal Services.
and 002.
Oh, yeah. And 002 also. I will amend my motion to add adjustment package 002 relating to LFO services and supplies.
Approve the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
The Administrative Services Division has one policy package that's regarding relating to the agency relocation. The agency will be moving to the new North Mall office complex, and again, there's no modification to the amount in the governor's balanced budget, but we recommend approval of the package.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Question. Can you tell me how much more we're going to be paying in rent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, for the 03-05 biennium, it's just under $240,000. And that's not... that's for an additional space that they'll be renting.
That's for the 8,500 square feet.
Correct.
How does the rent for the new place compare to the rent for the old place?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, it's a uniform rent rate, so all agencies and all state buildings under the uniform rent system pay the same per square foot, regardless of the building that they're in.
Well, and they were in a state building, so...
Correct.
So they're just... The increased cost is related to more space.
Correct.
Is there a charge for inadequate parking?
You're paying a surcharge on that.
Well, I'm halfway sure, because you probably personally had to buy parking before, and now it's just included in the rent.
Oh, no. We'll be personally buying parking. Mr. Chair, I would point out... And Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that when you move into a new building, there is a premium of maybe 10 cents a square foot or something. Bruce, do you?
Mr. Chair, Bruce Winger with the department. Starting in this budget cycle, there is a surcharge that's being assessed to all new buildings that come under the DAS uniform rent structure, and there is a 10 cent per square foot surcharge for all new square footage that you move into. Additionally, the rent is covered now, or excuse me, the parking will be undercover, so it will be substantially higher than what it is now at the Commons building.
Just out of curiosity, do we know what the 10 cents is for?
It's my understanding the 10 cents, Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, the 10 cents per square foot is a prorated amount of the additional debt that's being included under the uniform rent calculation. There's been some discussion that it didn't seem equitable that existing renters would have to pay for the new buildings, that the tenants moving into the new building are going to have to carry a higher part of the new debt. So that's kind of my understanding.
First, the older
smelling the new paint.
I was going to say the older buildings do have maintenance stuff. So
they certainly do.
Yeah. It sounds like a way for somebody to get a little more money.
Any other questions? I editorialize a little bit here. I am concerned that we do not have adequate parking in the mall, and this is just this whole new building. I think was somebody dropped the ball a little bit by not following through on the parking.
Well, I was going to ask a question about whether the director riding his motorcycle to work was going to save him any parking money.
He has to go buy a new bike first.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, as long as they don't start grazing goats on the
I think we're ready for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on policy package 110 relating to agency relocation.
There's a motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
We'll move to the Field Services Division now. There's a technical adjustment that needs to be made in this division's budget. In package 090, program reductions, the agency reduced two positions to achieve the dollar savings identified for the governor's balanced budget. However, in the governor's balanced budget, the budget only reduced one position. The dollar amount was correct, for the two positions, but in the paperwork it only came out as one, and so LFO is recommending that the second position be reduced. This is an FTE reduction only. The funding does not change.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on technical adjustment package 090 relating to program reductions.
You've heard the motion. Discussion? Objections? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, packages 001 and 002 again relate to personal service adjustment and service and supplies adjustment. These were salary freezes and then the standard inflation reductions that agencies are taking.
Senator Murray?
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on standard adjustment package 001 as it relates to personal services and standard adjustment package 002 as it relates to services and supplies.
Heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Package 131, water right transfers. This package would add two positions to help address the backlog of water right transfer applications. The funding for this package comes from House Bill 2268, the fee bill that the subcommittee approved. LFO is recommending the approval of the package as modified, and that modification would be that the positions be established as limited duration positions for the next biennium, and then during the next budget review period, we'll again evaluate the backlog and see what the need is for those positions to continue on.
Is there discussion for the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation to policy package 131 as it relates to water right transfers.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
Package 132 is a restoration of one position. Position was reduced in the special sessions, and this is a natural resource specialist 3 position. LFO is recommending that this position be approved also as a limited duration position.
Is there discussion? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation to policy package 132 as it relates to the restoration of field staff.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
LFO package 006, you'll see this in 3 of the divisions. This is part of the fund shift plan regarding the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund from OWEB and the Measure 66 dollars. And this is the adjustment. It shifts other funds. These funds, which are federal funds, will be spent as other funds to backfill the general, alike general fund amount.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
If staff could just refresh our memories as to which program we're backfilling here.
Actually, I may defer to the department to give us the specifics on that.
Chair Messley, Senator Dukes, these would be our field positions that are associated with Oregon Plan activities. Water rights specialist positions, I believe, are the categories that we've got.
Thank you.
All out the field.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation to policy package 006 as it relates to the fund shift.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carried.
Moving on to the technical services division, LFO package 001 and 002, the salary freeze, and then again the standard inflation reductions being taken by the agencies.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation for standard adjustment package 001 as it relates to personal services adjustments.
And
002. I amend my motion to add 002 as it relates to services and supplies.
Motion. Is there a discussion? Motion. Motion. Is there objection? Motion carries.
Policy package 143. This package provides for some upgrades to the groundwater database the department has, and also continues a data entry position. LFO is again recommending modification of the package and continuing the position as a limited duration position.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept LFO's recommendation as it relates to policy package 143 and start cards in the technical services division.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Package 006, is, again, this is the fund shift relating to the Oregon plan using Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund dollars to backfill general fund money.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move the committee accept the LFO recommendation to policy package 006 as it relates to fund shifting in the technical services division.
You heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Moving on to the Water Rights Adjudication Division, package 001 and 002, again, reduces for the salary freeze and also for inflation. In addition, the Attorney General rate was reduced from $109 as listed in the price list and used to put together the governor's balanced budget down to $98, and so there's a Attorney General's reduction here as well.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 001 as it relates to personal services and adjustment package 002 as it relates to services and supplies in the Water Rights and Adjudication Division.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Policy package 161 allows for the continuation of the adjudication process in the Klamath Basin, but at reduced levels. It restores two positions that were originally limited duration. The package requests permanent positions and then some limited legal costs. LFO is recommending the package be approved as modified. The Attorney General rate reduction based on the rates, the new rates, and then the positions be continued as limited duration positions through the next biennium, and then we'll review it again during the next process, budget process. I will point out a correction in the numbers there. The numbers are correct, but the $30,300 that you see there as other funds are really federal funds. Those should be changed. The spreadsheet detail that you have has them listed as federal funds, so the overall numbers don't change. But just a correction in the memo.
Chair?
Yes, Representative Krieger.
Regarding this package, Paul, how long have we been involved in adjudication and climate?
Chairman, so Representative Krieger, the adjudication was initiated back in the mid-70s, probably 76, halted by several major federal court cases, one that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so we started it hard again, I'd say, in 96. And we had both the claiming period and then our alternative dispute resolution process. We started hard in 2001 on putting these contests into the contested case process and the hearing officer panel. And I'm pleased to report that since we started hitting that hard, we've been able to resolve about 75, maybe 78% of the contest on the claim. So we're making real good progress. We've got some big ones. We're working hard with the federal government on the tribal claims, and then we've got the irrigation project claims. But we are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. And I think it's because of the legislature's willingness to say, okay, this is a priority, we're going to push it. And once we started pushing it hard in 2001, we really started seeing the parties to start to try to find some common ground and settle.
So that reduced level, that increases time. Are you talking an extra year we're adding on to this or 2 years?
We're losing a position. We've got three now that are dedicated to it, so we're going to reduce it from that. And what we're trying to do is try to find federal funding. We're really reducing the general fund support. We've been given some additional expenditure limitation on federal funds, so we're pushing the federal funding as much as we can, because the federal government didn't have to pay the filing fees. Yeah. So we've been working with them to try to find other ways for them to help support those activities.
Okay, thank you.
Somebody, maybe staff can help me here, or Paul. How did we end up having to restore two positions? Were these just eliminated in the governor's balanced budget?
Chair Messerly, Senator Dukes, these are limited duration positions, so they're eliminated
they
all the time.
Okay, gotcha.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on policy package 161 relating to the Klamath Basin adjudication in the Water Rights and Adjudication Division.
You've heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carries.
Package 006, again, is part of the fund shift package for the Pacific Coastal Sandwich Fund and Area 66. This is the third of three of such packages, third division.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation to policy package 006, the fund shift in the Water Rights and Adjudication Division.
You've all heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carries.
Moving to the director's office, packages 001 and 002, again, are the salary freeze and the attorney general rate reduction and the state standard inflation adjustments.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 001 relating to personal services and package 002 relating to services and supplies in the director's office.
Again, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
Moving to the Water Development Loan Program, packages 001 and 002. Package 001 accounts for the salary freeze, but also eliminates one vacant position. This is the second of two vacant positions that are being eliminated in the agency's budget. And then package 002 adjusts for the attorney general rate and the inflation reductions.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation in adjustment package 001, personal services, and adjustment package 002, services and supplies relating to the water development loan program.
You have heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carries.
Next on the in the memo is the other fund and imbalance discussion. The information that was just distributed to you this morning is an update of this table. This is the more current information. The one that's in the memo is back from March, and so we've already had that discussion. Unless there's some additional questions in that area.
Any more than you were here, but Mr. Clary did run through that and. Would you like to hear another explanation?
No, I'm just interested whether the committee thought these were reasonable ending balances or not.
The new ones, and you have the marked out ones?
No.
On the hydroelectric, the 8 months is in regards to several major reclassifications, relicensing, excuse me, is coming up presently, is why that made sense. Water rights account was adjusted to within the...
It's within the bounds.
The bounds, and... help me out. What was the justification?
Chair Messerly, on the well constructor licensing account, we've been accumulating money in that account in anticipation of launching a new continuing education program that the legislature directed us to implement last session. We've got those rules in place, so we're going to start incurring expenses against that, unlike we've had in the past. And we'll also be moving from multiple licenses to a consolidated license that in the next 4 years will reduce the revenue as well. So that's the reason why we've got what seems to be a large ending balance at this time relative to the expenses.
Okay.
Cool.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendations on the other fund ending balances.
You have all heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Finally, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, on page 6, you'll see the recommended LFO adjustments to the bill. LFO would recommend that the subcommittee recommend that the full committee amend the bill as noted here. Oh, yes. Let's
go back up. Hang on.
Yep. Go back up.
Are these accurate?
Yes.
Based on that other thing?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, you do have a budget note in front of you. We can go through that. During the public hearings on the budget bill, the subcommittee encouraged the department to seek funding from other sources as much as they could to prepare an inventory of potential surface water storage areas. So this budget note in the first sentence addresses that issue. Secondly, there was some concern about the department incurring expenses related to the scenic waterways program that you were interested in looking at whether or not the Parks Department could fund some of that. And so the budget note directs the department to work with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department to identify those costs incurred with the scenic waterways and to develop an agreement with the Parks Department for reimbursement of those costs for those programs. And just a side note, we have been talking with the Parks Department. They are fully aware of this, and in fact some of the staff from the Parks Department actually provided the language for this budget note. So they are willing to work with the Water Resources Department as well.
Can I help? There's a message here. Okay. Senator Morgan?
Mr. Chair, I just had a question.
Excuse me, Senator Duke.
Can you really find, in the first sense, can you really find lottery money? The other funding sources all make sense to me. Is there a lottery money that is available for that? Do we just put the litany in there because those are all our funding sources?
Chair Messley, Senator Dukes, one, you put the litany in case you can find something while you're out trolling. But certainly we could be partnering with someone who's got some money through lottery for economic development activities, or if we're looking at multipurpose storage, some of it might also be eligible for Measure 66 if we were dedicating a portion of storage to in-stream flow.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't raise this issue necessarily in conjunction with this budget note, but I think we all ought to take care when we're encouraging the use of private sources, and I understand where I think you're trying to go here, but in all budget notes where we're encouraging the use of private sources to make sure that the public knows that there's a fair playing field here. If you had a particular special interest group step up and say, we'll underwrite all of the activities privately, there can be the perception, if not the reality, that there is a specified outcome. And I just want to get it on the record that we need to encourage the use of private sources very judiciously and constantly mindful of the public perception of how those funds are applied. I'm not suggesting any deviation from best practices with your inclusion of that source here. I just want us always to be mindful of it.
Thank you, Representative. That is an excellent comment.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation to approve the budget. No.
Committee, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? More discussion? Objection? Motion carried. I'd like to raise one other issue. I don't know if we'd want it in the form of a budget note or not, but we had some discussion of some controversy between permitting for surface waters and well waters, and it was my understanding during our facility that the department is working on that or is going to put a group together to try to find resolution to that.
Right. Mr. Chair.
I just want on the record primarily where we're at with that, and I don't know if we need a budget note or...
Mr. Chair, I wanted to provide you a follow-up memo to that, since that was the concerns that were expressed during the public hearing portion of our budget hearing back in March, were from three individuals who had some well applications in, and they were concerned about our process and procedures for evaluating, as you indicated, this hydraulic connection between surface water and groundwater. They were concerned that we were being inconsistent, that it wasn't well structured, and perhaps most of all that it wasn't well documented, so they could come in with their experts and present new information to us and find out what it was that we our decision turned on. So in response to that, we went through a review of our Division 9 process. That's a process we use to look for hydraulic connection. And we developed a new form to improve that consistency, structure, and documentation. We met with a number of the well drilling community stakeholders, and they seemed to appreciate that effort. The proof is in the pudding. We did do a re-review on a number of the applications, and some of them turned from a no to a yes. Some of them are still coming up no, and we're working with those folks to try to find some other alternatives. But I thought that the testifiers had brought forth some real valid concerns, and we tried to respond in that manner.
Oh, run by me real quick. I fully understand. What is the process if a private consultant differs from what your department staff?
We've got both an informal process, which is what we try to use initially, and that is now with this new form, we'll show them what we think is the basis for our conclusion that there's hydraulic connection. And then before we issue proposed final order, they could come in and talk with us about their information, make sure that we've got everything as up to date as possible. And then if we issue a proposed final order, they are then an applicant that can file a protest, and we can go through our formal ADR process and then a contested case process as well. But we're interested in resolving technical disputes at the staff level as quickly as possible, because we don't want to go down the road based on outdated incomplete information. If somebody's got better information, our groundwater guys will always tell you the well logs, the well information from surrounding areas is what rules. And if somebody's got better information than we've got, we want to see it as early as possible. We have asked our groundwater advisory committee to help us with this issue of long-term impacts, where there's a hydraulic connection, but maybe it's not so significant that the impacts show up during, say, a one-year period or during the surface water irrigation season. But over time, we know that we're going to be lowering that aquifer and having that effect, and so we're focusing on the short term now, and hoping to use the advisory committee to help us with some ideas on the long term.
Mr. Olson, I think we're ready for the final.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, on page 6, you'll see the final recommended numbers and the recommended amendment to Senate Bill 5546, the budget for the Water Resources Department.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommended changes to the appropriation bill, and with your permission, I would also add to move the bill out. And I would also add to move Senate Bill 5546 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Have you all heard the motion? Discussion? You got that look on your face.
The only reason I have that look, Mr. Chair, is say the number again. I'm not sure that you said it correctly, just to make sure the record was right. The
Senate Bill number. 5546.
You said it correctly. Thank you. I apologize.
Any more discussion? Objection? Motion carried. We need carriers. Senator Krieger will carry. Senator Dukes will not carry that. Would you carry in the full as well as the House, please? We'll close the work session on House Bill 5546.
46. And we have one more item of business. We'll open the work session on the federal grant application for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it on behalf of the department and staff, you guys' interest and support for our program. Thank you.
Staff motorcycles.
Oh, that's right. We had one more budget.
Is that what happened?
We're going to move in the horses, right?
Yeah. Oh, horses are dangerous, too.
If you're waiting,
tell you the story.
Tell us the story.
So I call this the
the
Jesse Ventura revenge. Back in the early 80s, when I was in Cheyenne, middle of the winter, entertainment was hard to come by.
That's going
to
be a long story.
Entertainment was hard to come by, and I had a call from a friend of mine over in Laramie. He said, "Hey, World Wrestling Federation's coming to Cheyenne. Go get us tickets." So I went out to the airport bar where they had tickets, bought tickets, ended up with ringside seats for a match, and the marquee match was Jesse the Body Ventura versus Bobby the Brain Heenan. And by then, by the time we got to that match, I finally figured out you were supposed to cheer for the heroes and boo the villains and all that. And so when Jesse came into the ring, he's right in my corner, I stand up and I yell out, "Get a job, Jesse." And he turns around and he goes, "Sit down, goat roper." So here it is, 13 years later. I'm out on my motorcycle on Saturday morning, and two small farm goats, feral farm goats that somebody let loose, popped out of a ditch right in front of me, and before I knew it, I was on top of them, and I hit them, and they took me down, and the bike went about 75 feet on the ground, and I went about half that distance, and I wear a good helmet, I wear good boots, I wear good gloves. I just wish I had my leather coat on rather than a light coat, because I've got a little bit of the road still in me, but I feel really fortunate to have gotten through it.
How much does the road have of you, though?
There's a definite mark of my shirt out there in it, and it starts about 15 feet down from where the mark of the bike, so I was probably on a bike for a while. I was probably going 40, 50 miles an hour.
Where's the goats?
One of them was still alive at 4 in the afternoon. You know, the emergency room people asked me about the goats, and I said, to be honest with you, I was more worried about myself than the goats. The other one was hurting. I think it's gone.
I really believe that it was.
They're heavy. Those little, they're compact, but they got 60, 80 pounds to them.
I think it would be prudent in the application form for directors of departments that we ask if they're bikers.
What happened to Mr. Bike?
About 30,000 miles and never had an incident.
Paul, when did you have the accident?
Saturday. So this is the first day I've been back in, and I just came in for this. And
for the fun. Yeah.
I'm you know, I was telling Rick, you guys are normally interested in administering pain. I was hoping maybe you had some painkillers.
His agency heads will do anything, sir.
Well, it wasn't planned, and I would not recommend this to anybody, because it's starting to hurt.
We're
glad you didn't get hurt worse.
Yeah, right. Wear a good helmet. Thank you.
Thank you. And you've done a fine job filling in, because the show just arrived.
All right. Good. Cam, we appreciate all your support.
Do I have to open the work session?
Yes.
How do we open the work session?
They look so relaxed on TV. I think you closed the
last one. I don't think you'll. Just to make sure, I'll open the work session on the federal grant application for the Watershed Enhancement Board.
And this is a grant application with the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, administered by NOAA Fisheries, for $12.7 million. The Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund was initiated by Congress in 2000. With the intention of assisting the four Pacific states and the tribes with efforts to recover native salmonids. I always get that wrong. Listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. The state's share of the 2003 funding is now available for dispersal. and expenditure limitation for these funds will be included in OWEB's budget. Receipt and expenditures of the funds is already assumed in the co-chair plan to maximize the use of the funds along with Measure 66 lottery funds to avoid reductions in Oregon plan expenditures and make general fund available to address other revenue shortfalls. And LFO recommends approval.
Mr. Huntington, these funds are available annually?
They're available annually as appropriated by Congress. There's no authorization or substantive bill in place in Congress that is, makes this a program that is funded over multiple year stretches. This is part of the appropriations bill each year that is put through for the U.S. Department of Commerce, Mr. Chair.
What that means is you have to apply annually, though. Is that right?
Chair Mesley, it means we have to apply annually. It also means that from year to year, we don't know what the particular amount will be that Congress will appropriate.
Are there indications that that amount will be decreasing in the near future?
Chair Mesley, there are no indications that one way or the other of what the amount will be next year, other than the President's budget included a similar amount for federal fiscal year 04. And the Senate markup is at this point, I believe.
Jeff, for the record, I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me. I'm Jeff Huntington, the director of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, for the record. Apologize. The Senate is in the process of working on the Department of Commerce appropriation bill for federal fiscal year 04, and the president's request has been reduced, but it's in the net result appears to be at approximately the same level of funding for federal fiscal year 04, subject to the whims of the committee members in the appropriation process in Congress.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make a comment.
Absolutely, Morgan.
I want to go on record as being very appreciative of the OWEB board's support of our efforts to keep the Oregon Plan activities and the agencies alive, and the willingness of the board to work with us as we fund shift to try to protect those services.
Thank you very much.
And I might add the core services that we're going to keep this whole Oregon Plan going.
Mr. Chair, this is simply asking for permission to apply for this federal grant funds, and we will work on the expenditure limitation and the other details at the time we work session my budget, and we've been working with LFO staff and BAM on how that will be structured, and I think we'll be ready to go whenever we're called to come.
Good. Questions? Department?
I had a question. How much, I've been in fish marking trailers. How much are they? I didn't think they were that big. This one looks like it's $1.3 million.
Chair Mesley, Senator Dukes, there are actually three trailers that are being purchased. And I have my fiscal analyst here with me, or my budget manager, and a month ago I probably could have told you the figures for what the purchase price was on those, but I can't recall.
Which roughly, is it in that neighborhood?
I think it is a $1.1 or $1.2 million allocation that will purchase three trailers.
Okay. The way it's written up here, it makes it sound as though there's one that's being taken, that the feds are doing, and so we can't. That money, we won't ever see it.
The breakout is that Chair Mesley, Senator Dukes, there's actually a earmark on the Oregon share that is divided into two parts. One is for approximately $1.1 million that will be diverted by NOAA Fisheries to be spent on mass marking at hatchery facilities on the Columbia main stem through a program that is already in place that has previously been funded through, I believe, the Mitchell Act. And that involves Washington, Oregon, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service marking facilities. Then there's a second earmark that is directing Oregon to purchase these three trailers to do mass marking of hatchery fish so they can be distinguished from native fish runs. And those that money will come through this grant, flow to OWEB, and then the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has negotiated a purchase price with the vendor on those trailers, and we will execute a contract agreement for the purchase of the trailers to be delivered to ODFW.
So the money they're diverting is maybe a trailer as well as marking
costs?
The money that is, Senator Dukes, the money that's being diverted and administered by NOAA Fisheries is for marking, but not for the purchase of the trailers. It's activities that are being conducted at hatchery facilities on the main stem.
Okay. Lisa?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services, and we recommend that the subcommittee approve the request to apply for the grant.
Mr. Chair,
I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation and move the grant request to the Full Ways and Means Committee with the recommendation to approve the request.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you. With that, we'll adjourn the work session for the grant request. And Judy, you have a carry. Mr. Johnson, would you like to?
It doesn't have any creepy bovine diseases.
A real bill.
Sure.
Judy.
I have Tessie out next week's schedule for you. And the information for Monday's hearing should be available to you later than in tomorrow in your office. That's for you.
That's it. Wait, I asked Water Resources to contact each of you after I met with them last night. And I'm going to really push that with other budgets we haven't been before, because I even felt it some here today. Some of the information we were getting, we were just pretty quick in it. And it was good issues. But I really get nervous when we get handed something, and quite frankly, if they saw you this morning, that's too short a notice as well. But at least you were aware of it, and so I'm really going to try to push the departments coming before us from here on to get to the committee and, quite frankly, work with the committee, and so you have an understanding of what's going on.
Thank you.
And they help us, as you notice, and I just got the schedule here, which is what I was afraid of. They just moved into the next week again. We will be done here on the 24th, according to this. As before today, we were going to be done on the 20th. So this is simply a function of the staff not being able to get the work out. But so what I was going to say is that some of these budgets are on... this is where we've moved on. They've given me 2 days on some of the big budgets.
But Mr. Chair, that only makes sense. I mean, trying to move the Department of Fish and Wildlife after the past history, trying to move it out in one day, I mean, I would expect us to ask a lot of questions just to sort of make sure that everything we sense is accurate.
However, DEQ is scheduled here for one day. And forestry is one day.
Lots of love.
DLCD and OWEB is one day. So, I mean, they're still got
together.
Mr. Chair, I would submit, though, that it doesn't appear that Simon Dye is anywhere near imminent. And probably don't need to be in.
You heard it here first.
I may die before Simon Dye.
All right, with that, we'll adjourn the committee.
Okay.